Recently, the sabotage of Nord Stream 2, a pipeline that runs for 1,200 kilometres from Russia to Germany, has got a lot of people talking. While NATO is blaming the Russians for blowing up their own pipelines, many believe that the real culprits are the Americans. Well, who knows? I would not like to speculate. But I thought that this was a good opportunity to explore a little bit of political theory while also explaining what has been going on in geopolitical terms with the whole war in Ukraine. Now, before I do so, let me remind you of a thinker called Bertrand de Jouvenel. In his book On Power, Jouvenel outlines something called the high-low-middle mechanism. Incidentally, if you want to learn more about this, I encourage you to buy my course, Foundations of Politics, or the textbook for that course, The Populist Illusion. Ideally, you'd get them together, and it goes into a lot more detail than I can do in a small video like this. Anyway, Jouvenel has been adapted in interesting ways by both C.A. Bond and by Curtis Yarvin. Now, rather than getting into the weeds, as I do on the course, here I want to keep things super duper simple, okay? So you need to understand three concepts. First, the power. That's those ultimately in charge, and that is the high. Second, rival castles. That's those who have some power independently of the power and actually threaten it in some way. That's the middle. And third, you have clients, which is those who depend entirely on the power for status and influence. Now, the power always seeks to eliminate and destroy rival castles. The high-low-middle mechanism always pits an alliance of the power and its clients against the rival castles until those castles are destroyed. Now let's use an example that Jouvenel himself does, Henry VIII. Henry VIII was the power. When he came to the throne, the remnants of the old aristocracy, already weakened by the War of the Roses, and indeed before that, the Hundred Years' War, and the centralizations of his father, Henry VII, still represented a threat and some rival castles. Now, initially, Henry allied with the church, and especially men such as Cardinal Wolsey, here pictured, to take out rival castles, such as the Duke of Buckingham, also here pictured. Now, once he had consolidated power in the crown and smashed the nobility, the church itself became the next most significant rival castle. So what did Henry do? He elevated secular, non-noble administrators like Thomas Cromwell, here pictured, against the church, ransacked their cathedrals, declared himself the head of the church, and smashed another set of rival castles. But notice how, in the course of defeating one set of rival castles, a new client is elevated, here Thomas Cromwell. And over the course of the next 100 years, the crown would come to rely more and more on men like Cromwell. By the time of Charles I, they had become rival castles in their own right, represented by such men as Oliver Cromwell. Incidentally, Oliver Cromwell was a descendant of Thomas Cromwell himself, and in fact, as an almost perfect representation of how clients are elevated into rival castles, the Cromwell family fortune owed itself almost entirely to the dissolution of the monasteries, that is, the money that was taken from the cathedrals and the monasteries were given to men like Cromwell, and it built up his family, and he then became a rival castle, or at least his family did. Now, James I, just as his father, James, had done, attempted to enlist the aid of merchants, then rising in wealth and influence. And he enlisted the aid of the merchants to crush the new rival castle. So if you want, the merchants then became the new clients, and the new rival castles were represented by men like Cromwell. But it was too late. The merchants, on balance, decided to side with Cromwell, and it was Charles who found himself crushed, not Cromwell. And so you see, if the power gets the high-low-middle mechanism wrong, the middle, or the rival castles, can steal the clients and become the new high. Now, even if, in this case, the new arrangement did not last for long, you can also see how dangerous it is for the power to actually eliminate those rival castles completely, because then the clients become the new rival castles and represent a new threat. So it's a tricky balancing act for the power to get this right. So now you have an understanding of the model. Let us fast forward to the 20th century after World War II. The USA successfully became the world hegemon, replacing the old British Empire. Europe, in tatters after the war, relied on American loans and, in particular, military bases as it rebuilt itself as the other Allied power, the USSR, grew to become the chief rival castle in the world of geopolitics. So the USA is the power, Europe is the client, and the USSR is the rival castle. Now, the USA needed some sort of holding mechanism to keep Europe, and especially Germany, from reverting back to its historical norm and, you know, its own ambitions, its own empire, if you want to put it that way. The name for that holding mechanism was and remains the European Union. Now, America acts as world hegemon and maintains military bases across its client European states, while the European Union works to ensure transnational European cooperation with America's globalist plans. So as long as this structure is in place, the EU and America work in some sort of harmony, or at least that was the idea. When the Berlin Wall came down, suddenly America's rival castle was gone. And NATO no longer had any real reason to exist. And as we've seen in history, this is a dangerous situation for any power, because it means, of course, that the client can become a rival castle in its own regard. Now, the Americans, for some time, tried to create ersatz rival castles. Milosevic, Saddam Hussein, the whole war on terror. But realistically, these ersatz rival castles were too small to provide what the USSR had done. And I don't know if you remember, the Europeans were particularly badly behaved as vassals during that period. Do you remember the whole freedom fries and all of that stuff? They weren't up, in general, the Europeans, for many of these neocon escapades. And in the meantime, as all of this was going on, decades of peace had made the EU, and especially the Germans, richer. And the EU, as all clients do in the absence of any other rival castles, started to develop ambitions to become a rival castle in its own right. And calls for an EU army grew louder and louder. I mean, if you were around during the Brexit era, we heard nothing but, you know, the EU was going to develop this army. Now, Germany, at the same time, signed large trade deals with the old rival, Russia, including, of course, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that everybody is talking about today. And this is where Vladimir Putin comes in. For the USA, everything is hunky-dory so long as the EU remains a client made up essentially of vassal states in a structure that looks like this. America is happy with Europe as the low, as the clients, and Russia as the middle, representing the rival castle. After all, this is what NATO was set up to do and what brought about the current structure in the first place. The USA's nightmare scenario would be this, or much more realistically, this, which is a European-Russian alliance against American hegemony. And once you understand this, everything else that has happened in Ukraine starts to make sense. Why the Nord Stream pipeline had to go. Note the date here. Biden said that in February, before the war even started. And now, of course, the pipeline has been damaged, perhaps irreparably. Last I saw, it has been damaged in four different places. And what about the EU army that they kept on talking about? Well, it looks like that is on the back burner now as well. The crisis has been averted for the power. Client status for Europe is reasserted. And the old rival castle, which is to say Russia, is back. And it can help America keep the old gang together, at least for now. Well, if you enjoy this video, do like and subscribe, pick up a course at the academic agency, join the channel, pick up a mug, but most importantly of all,